recognize a few faces from last night, but there's a few here that that weren't here as well. So it's good to see everyone again. And I understand it's going to be a little warm today, but you guys have not yet at all approached where we are in Texas right now. We've been approaching 108, 109 degrees for several days, and had a heat wave come through, and so it was very, very warm for a few days. So, enjoy your 90 degree, 95 degree weather. So, well, if you like titles for today's message, the title is Building a Legacy. Building a Legacy. And there was a gentleman named Lee Colon, who was a writer and a motivational speaker. And he said this: inheritance is what we leave to others. Legacy is what we leave in them. Inheritance is what we leave to others. Legacy is what we leave in them. Now, as you all know, my mother, Lorna, as was announced earlier, and you all are well aware, she passed away a little over a week ago. And we were quite shocked by that. She had always been so healthy that we weren't expecting anything like that. And, you know, she was full of life, full of energy, and just like Energizer Bunny she's been compared to, and just going all the time. And she devoted a lot of that energy to her kids and grandkids, and, of course, to the church as well. And she leaves behind three children in whom she instilled a heart of service. And growing up, it was our mother who really instilled in us the faith that we have today. She taught us the basics of the truth from a very young age. She taught us, you know, the Ten Commandments and the fruits of the Spirit. And as I was mentioned last night, she even wrote a song about the fruits of the Spirit that she taught us. And I still remember that to this day. So she leaves behind, again, three children in the truth, and one grandchild who's baptized and who has chosen God's way of life, and five more grandchildren being raised up in the way that they should go. And we're very proud of that. And you know, Mom was a worker bee, and as has been mentioned many times, and she didn't need a title to serve. You know, she wasn't ordained or anything, but she was always right in the middle of things. If there was a need, she was right in the middle of it, taking care of it. She had her quirks, for sure. Last night, we went through her list of what we call grandma-isms, her little phrases and things that she would say. The things you say all the time. But she truly was a woman of godly character. She was a widow, you know, in the service of God. And she was always listening to sermons and telling me about what she was hearing and listening to. And one of her favorite speakers was Gary Petty, and Dalby said, if I could quote her, she just said, she loved God, her family, and Gary Petty in that order. And she would even write out some of the sermons she was listening to, or type them out so that she could retain better what she was hearing. But Mom was always teaching. You know, she was a teacher at heart. She never was one by profession, but she homeschooled Sam, and she assisted in homeschooling Dalby and other kids as well. And she never passed on an opportunity to educate her family on the truth. And I can't tell you how many times her wise counsel helped me to make decisions and better choices than I may have made otherwise, especially as a young man, you know, trying to find my way in this world. And I'd like to read a couple quotes of some things that friends have said about her. One friend said this, quote, "The very fact that so many people are saddened at her passing speaks to how she made others feel. People enjoyed being with her because she made them feel loved and cared for with her willingness to serve and to show them who God is through her words and deeds. Her faith was an inspiration to many." And another friend said this, "Lorna was one of those people that was truly a blessing to be around. What stood out the most was her unwavering dedication to God and His truth. She wasn't afraid to stand for what she believed and share God's way of life with others when asked. She also had a strong work ethic. Her bountiful garden was evidence of that. She dedicated her life first to God and secondly to her family and friends. She was always ready to give a helping hand to anyone in need. She set a wonderful example for her family to follow, and it is evidenced in how they are striving to also dedicate their lives to being a living legacy of God's way of life. I feel very blessed to have known Lorna." So Mom's legacy was one of service and love. Love for God, love for the church, love for her family. Well, what do you think of when you think of legacy? I think as we get older, it's a concept that we might think about more often than when we were younger. But if you notice, my title is not leaving a legacy, but rather building a legacy. Building a legacy is something that begins when you're very young, that develops over a lifetime. If you look up the word legacy, most of the definitions that you'll find are defined in terms of money or property left to someone in a will. But legacy for our purposes today involves much more than money. Dictionary.com defines legacy as anything handed down from the past, as from an ancestor or predecessor. Now, the idea of leaving a legacy may sound intimidating. You know, it's certainly a grand word. But legacy is not meant only for the elite, only for the elite few or for those of great power or influence. But it's a grand word, and it's a daunting word. So let's start by what we don't mean. Legacy is not the idea of leaving financial wealth to someone. It's not reserved only for people whose names will be in history books or on monuments or in record books. A legacy is not something just for the rich and powerful and the famous. It's not just for presidents, world leaders, billionaires, actors, so on and so forth. Legacy is far more. It's the story of your life that lives on after you leave this earth. And we write this story every day in the values that you embrace and live out. Our legacy, every single one of us, can be positive or destructive. The outcome is always up to us. Building a legacy is something that we all can and are doing every single day, whether we realize it or not. And a legacy is not something just for the old. It's for each one of us, no matter our age. Each one of us are actively building a legacy. Now, we could read in the Bible many, many stories and see the legacy that various people left. We could read about the kings of Judah and Israel and all their legacies that are recorded for posterity. And I'm sure we've all read the summaries of the lives of those kings. And they go something like this: so-and-so did good in the sight of the Lord, or so-and-so did evil in the sight of the Lord. And can you imagine having your actions and deeds recorded for all, for all to read after you're gone? You know, that would be quite something. But it's not only kings that leave a legacy. Sometimes a legacy can be left by nameless people performing small things that resonate through the centuries. Let's look at a couple of those in the Bible. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 14. We're going to read verses 3 through 9. This is an example that we've read many times. But Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. So starting in verse 3 of Mark 14, it says, "While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, 'Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' And they rebuked her harshly. 'Leave her alone,' said Jesus. 'Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me.' She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Sometimes even the smallest things can result in a legacy. Things that you never dreamed would be remembered. And how do we know that something that we might do, something that we might say, might get written about us one day for future generations to learn from? Let's look at one more in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21, beginning in verse 1, says, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, I'm sure this nameless widow had no idea that her selfless act that day would be read and talked about for over 2,000 years by countless millions of people. Her legacy was to teach others about how to give, even when you don't have a lot to give. Well, what about you? Is there something for which you will be remembered? Is there something that God intends for you to impart to others? I suggest that there is, that God has given each one of us something that He expects to give to others. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read verses 14 through 27. Again, a scripture we're very familiar with, but it really speaks to the subject today. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 talents more besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest.'" So the question before us today is, what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us? Are we using them to edify others? I submit to you that we all have ways that we can contribute, that we all have gifts that God expects us to use to produce more fruit. Are we developing those gifts? You know, they may not always be big and flashy, but they are gifts nonetheless. And God expects us to develop those gifts to edify His people. What will people say of you? What will be your legacy? Will you be known as caring? Will you be known as loving? A good speaker? A good encourager? Someone who cares about other people? Someone who makes other people laugh? God has given each one of us something that we can impart to others. So I encourage every one of us to recognize it, develop it, and use it for others. Pericles, the philosopher, said this, "What you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others." You know, as parents, we have a very big impact on the lives of our children and grandchildren. The lives that we lead, the examples that we set, have a ripple effect for generations to come. You know, our legacy that we leave behind is so impactful to not only our children, but to our grandchildren and future generations. So we should be ever diligent to teach our children the ways of God and to set a good example by walking in them ourselves. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Beginning in verse 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Well, what kind of example are we setting for our children? Do we practice what we preach? Hopefully we're doing the very best that we can in being a light to our children. Are we perfect? No way. We're not perfect. But if our hearts are right, our children will see God's Spirit working in us, and it will go a long way to influencing them and going the right direction. Does it always turn out that way? Unfortunately not. This is still Satan's world, and there are a lot of pulls out there. But we just have to do the best that we possibly can do and make it a point to leave a good legacy for our children. Billy Graham once said, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money, but rather a legacy of character and faith." I'd like to read that again. The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money, but rather a legacy of character and faith. You know, our children should be able to say of us, he or she was a person of character. You know, you always knew where Dad stood. You always knew where Mom stood in their faith. Another way we can leave a good legacy is just to have a happy home. Self-help author Og Mandino put it this way. He said, "I am convinced that the greatest legacy we can leave our children are happy memories." Just happy memories, you know, good times, a peaceful home, one with God's Spirit in it. If we can say that much, then we have accomplished a lot. So parents have a great responsibility when it comes to leaving an enduring legacy for their children. But children have to answer that calling and be concerned about what kind of example they are setting. So let's read about that over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. And this is a scripture that I got quoted by my mother many, many, many times throughout the years, especially as a child growing up. Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right." Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. So I know that we don't have just a lot of young people, but we do have a lot of, you know, younger children in here. And your legacy may not mean a lot to you right now. Most likely you don't wake up in the morning thinking about how your actions that day are going to affect your legacy. You know, you have your whole lives ahead of you. But that's the point, isn't it? Building a legacy starts when we're very young. And the legacy that we leave is developed over a lifetime. So whether you realize it or not, or whether it's on your radar or not, your legacy is being formed right now. What you do matters. The relationships that you build with your friends, with your parents, these are formative years in your life, especially if you're a teen or a young adult. Do you want it said of you that you had a good relationship with your parents or a rocky one? You know, it's up to you. You are transitioning from being children to becoming mature, independent adults. Some of you are spreading your wings, and at some point you're going to leave the nest. Make it your goal that the manner in which you leave is a good one, a peaceful one. Make good choices. Make good decisions, because the decisions that you make in your youth can affect the rest of your life. Gary Vaynerchuk, he was an entrepreneur, author, and speaker. He said this, "Your legacy is being written by yourself. Make the right decisions." Your legacy is being written by yourself. Make the right decisions. We are writing our legacy every day. Our actions, our words, what we do with our time, all of it goes into our legacy. What do you want people to say about you? You know, hopefully we care enough that we want people to speak highly of us. You know, for your children, that you honored your parents, that you obeyed God's law and man's law, that you became a productive person, you know, a loving, caring person, that you loved God, that you followed on to stay in His truth. All these things play a part in building your legacy. You should make it your goal to build a legacy that people will admire. But no matter our age, it's never too early and it's never too late to start building a legacy. Even if you're older and you feel that maybe you've messed up a lot in your lifetime, maybe you haven't been the best example to your kids, you know, it's never too late to change. And when you change and you let God's Spirit guide you, You develop those gifts that God has given you. You become the person that you want to be. And it is possible to change people's perception of you, to build a new legacy, one that you can be proud of. It's not productive to dwell on what we did wrong or what we could have done better. You can only go forward from here. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He really messed up the first part of his life in a big way, you know, persecuting the church, imprisoning and executing followers of Jesus. But that's not what we remember him for. You know, we remember him for his dedication to the truth of giving his life in the service of Christ. We remember him for his writings, his letters, which comprise most of the New Testament. His legacy was one of service and sacrifice. And that's how he's remembered. That's how we remember him. Look at David and how he committed some heinous acts in his time as king. Adultery, murder. Yet we don't remember him for those things. We remember him as a man after God's own heart. So building a legacy is something that we should all consider and take seriously. But how do we do that? What's the secret to building and leaving a good legacy? Well, there could be many different ways that we could take this. But I have 6 points for us to ponder. 6 points to building and leaving a good legacy. Point number one, develop a close relationship with God. Now that seems very simple, very simply put. But building an enduring legacy starts with our relationship with God. How do we develop this relationship? Well, it's like you would any other relationship, by spending time with him in prayer and study and reflection. Prayer opens up the lines of communication. You know, talking to God is a big part of developing that relationship. With study. Study opens our minds to hear the Word of God, which gives us direction in our lives. And reflection, taking the time to reflect on your life, you know, where you are spiritually and how God fits into everything that we do in this life. Point number two, watch your words. Watch your words. You've heard the old saying, I'm sure, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that saying couldn't be any more untrue. Words can hurt, and we should always choose our words carefully, especially in times when tensions may be high. You know, there's no benefit to flying off the handle and letting someone have it. Words can be constructive or destructive. It's up to us. Make it a point in your life to make sure that your words never hurt anyone. You know, make that a goal in your life, that your legacy is one that people remember you for your kindness. You know, be quick to praise and slow to criticize. Point number three, show interest in others. Show interest in others. We can't go through this life simply concerned about our own welfare. You know, and it's easy to do. It really is. It's easy to become self-focused, getting involved in our lives, our families, our careers, that we don't take the time to be concerned for others. You know, make some phone calls, send some texts, inquire about another's well-being, especially when you know they're going through a hard time. You know, there's a lot of people going through a hard time, a lot of pain. Reach out to those that you know are suffering, and it means more to them than you know. Point number four, give back. Give back. Give of your time. Give of your money. Give of your energy. Give of your focus. You know, we are so richly blessed with all of the above, all of those things, money, energy, and focus, that we should give back wherever possible, whether that be a church, a charity, a cause, or all of the above. People who give of their time and resources have a far more rewarding life than those who don't. Point number five, treat everyone with respect. Every human being is worthy of respect, despite what they may have done to you or to someone else. And it's hardest when you feel you have been wronged or you see a loved one that's been mistreated. Then the claws want to come out, you know. But it can only make matters worse to be disrespectful and spiteful. So treat everyone with respect. And point number six, last but not least, take time to smell the roses. Take time to smell the roses. take vacations, spend quality time with the kids, go on a regular date night, take time for yourself, take up a hobby. Don't let your life become so wrapped up in work and household chores and the daily grind that you don't stop and enjoy life. You know, there are plenty of studies that show that people who take some time to enjoy life are less stressed, they're healthier, they're happier, and all around a well-balanced individual. So take time to smell the roses. Well, brethren, let's take some time to think about our legacy. Not all legacies are big and memorable to the world, but they are to those in your life, to the people that we love, to those we come in contact with every day. We are building a legacy every single day. The things we do, how we interact with people, how we care for people, our relationship with God, all these things play a role in building our legacy. And of course, there's no other legacy like the one that Jesus Christ has left us. Jesus Christ's legacy has affected and will affect every human being. And our legacy will never compare to that. But it remains a powerful influence in the lives of those we touch. As parents, we have a great responsibility to our children to leave a positive legacy that will affect generations to come. And if you're a young person, be mindful of the fact that your actions and your words, your relationships are important in building your legacy. And no matter what your age, it's never too late to build a legacy that you can be proud of.